change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, welcome again to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Today, I'm very happy to be talking to Jermaine Smith. Jermaine is the Vice President of Major Gifts at City Year. Did I get that right, Jermaine?
Yep, that's right.
And you wrote a blog piece that I saw on BoardSource called How to Catch a Unicorn, Diversify Your Nonprofit Board Like You Mean It. And I thought this was just a perfect encapsulation of the problem that a lot of boards face when trying to try to do the diversity thing for their boards, trying to diversify their people, because you and I were just talking before we hit record, but here we are several years into looking at board makeup and things are still fairly homogenous. And that has also been your experience too, correct?
Yeah, it has. And first briefly, I'll say thank you for having me on. It's really exciting to talk about this. I think, to your point, we were talking about the fact that, it seems like there's been marginal change in the last 5 years or so. And really, you could even go farther back than that. I think what strikes me the most about this topic right now, obviously the last year or so, speaking really specifically about the United States, we've had a bit of a racial reckoning in a lot of places. Yeah. And this topic has become even sharper and more, in some places, divisive. But I think what's interesting is when I hear people talking about it recently, in the last, we'll call it 12 months, it's almost been fascinatingly like a dog whistle for thinking about for-profit entities and not nonprofits. It's very easy for people to kind of think, hey, let me go to the Apple website or to Xerox or whatever you might think of and say, oh, well, look, there's just this list of, like you said, homogenous folks, right? Typically, older white males. And, then it becomes a real movement around how can we get them to have more diversity. But we need to do the same thing in our own industry, I think, because it turns out we're not much better.
Well, in some ways, it's almost harder to recruit people into nonprofit leadership than it is to recruit people into for-profit leadership. But I've been on other calls where I've actually said to folks that it's harder to run a nonprofit in general, I'm on several minds of the issue here, because on the one hand, nonprofits are struggling to find fresh blood. They're struggling to find people who can share passion about their causes. And I've been on a board that found it very, very difficult to figure out how to diversify itself, even after they took a good hard look at who they were. So it's, I think you're phrasing that, that you're a unicorn is a good one. I think that's accurate. And the question still remains, how do you catch a unicorn?
Yeah. And I think that, this conversation obviously was started well before the likes of us started writing or speaking about it, but some of the things that I think about, and I serve on a couple different boards myself, and just due to the nature of being a fundraiser, have interacted with even more. I think it starts first and foremost, and I do want to say this because I think you just mentioned it and it's really important. This is not to say, because we can look at data to say that nonprofits don't care about this. Most of them do. I would say nearly all. This isn't something that I think they're neglecting in the sense of making it necessarily a lower priority. I know lots of organizations that are working very diligently on this intentionally, and they are having challenges. You're absolutely right. I think what I've seen where it's worked well, and by worked well, I'll define it as there's a movement of the needle, right? Or a paradigm shift even in how they're approaching it. Has more to do with the fact that first and foremost, that you acknowledge that there might be a challenge at your organization, right? If you feel like, and look, homogeneity can look many different ways. So people who are listening to this should not think, well, we don't have a bunch of older rich white men, so we're fine, right? It could be that you have some other demographic that is overrepresented and another demographic that's underrepresented, and that matters as well. But I think the challenge is more first and foremost, just doing an audit and seeing, do we have this issue? Like, is this something that we should be looking at? And then starting to understand, how does it impact us, right? Like, in terms of how does it impact certainly our fundraising, which is always what I look at, but your program delivery, your measurements of success, how you're actually even viewed in the community. You know, some of the nonprofits I've worked with, I can tell you, have had amazing local community brands, but associated with them sometimes was the belief that, yeah, it's a certain type of person that volunteers there or works there or receives the services. And that wasn't necessarily what the organization themselves believed, or certainly not what they aspired to. So I think it ends up being a situation where you have to look at what you're doing. And again, doesn't mean what you're doing is bad or wrong, but it may mean that you need to expand on it, or you need to think outside of what has been kind of your status quo. And I think that's where you start to realize that there are some other opportunities to find people, maybe in places that you weren't looking before.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned doing an audit and taking a look at that with a lens also on your outcome measures and your program advocacy, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. How does an audit do that? How does an audit take those things into account?
Sure. So I'll tell you a process I walked through maybe about 5 or so years ago. And this was very, very rudimentary. So this isn't going to be something that probably blows anyone away. But we did something very simple to start. This is part of a board. First, we said, okay, let's actually do a board assessment, self-assessment. Where certainly we were asking ourselves questions like, are we meeting fiduciary responsibility, all those good things. But baked into that as well was, how do you identify yourself, right? Sure, we're looking at ethnicity and gender and all that good stuff, but we also wanted to say, what are your professions? What are your skills and hobbies and other interests? And we aggregated all of this. And what we realized was, as part of this, of course, we identified for sure we could do better with actual true diversity. But what we were also seeing is, and this is something that I think gets missed sometimes when you're thinking about diversity and inclusion, mm-hmm, it wasn't just that we were missing certain ethnicities or genders. We were also looking in the exact same places. Most people were attorneys. Most people worked in financial services. So what we realized is, well, okay, if you're looking in those same types of fields, well, who are you typically going to find in those fields, right? Is it typically going to be a white man, or is it typically going to be a black woman, or is it typically going to be some other mix of whatever? And then you kind of start thinking to yourself, well, this is part of what we need to broaden as well, right? Like, we were looking really specifically at law firms and financial services firms. Mm-hmm. So once we started thinking, maybe we even need to broaden the profession, that also even helped. So we started looking more at nonprofit industries. We started looking even in the medical fields. We started looking at what we described at the time. We were looking at a lot of fields that initially needed professional degrees. And we started thinking of, well, if we are looking for a true mix of this community, and I live in New Orleans, we really wanted to find people who were small business owners, or maybe they were running construction companies, or maybe they were running cleaning companies, or maybe they weren't running a company at all. Maybe they were a bartender, right? I mean, all of these people for this organization were young professionals, and we were trying to figure out how to redefine what it meant to be a young professional. And in doing that, it helped us to look at how we had by default defined a young professional as being in one of these very few categories, and therefore you're only going to find a certain type of person. Right. So we really had to kind of unpack exactly what we had actually defined kind of subconsciously.
Right. So I guess if a board is going to be really serious about doing the diversification thing, that it's not just the makeup of their board. There are multiple dimensions that go as far as how they actually provide programs and service delivery options. It's not just who's sitting at the table on a month-to-month basis.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, I would say that that's a typical pitfall. Is the first thing that a lot of us do, and I've been on many boards and involved in many boards where we've done that as well. Well, the first thing we think is, well, how does our board look? We want it to look differently. But you know, in the piece that you referenced earlier that I read a few years back, one of the critical points that I make in it is that if you're not thinking about it strategically and factoring all of those other elements of program service delivery, actual needs on the board, right? Like missing skill sets and right, networks. If you're not factoring those things in, ultimately what ends up happening is you end up recruiting someone, and the only thing you're recruiting them for is because they're a woman, because they're black or brown, because they may be, different sexual orientation. I mean, and that becomes who they are on your board. It doesn't right, become, I'm Jermaine on your board. I bring fundraising experience. I've been involved with education. It becomes, this is Jermaine, our black board member. And that becomes really apparent to that board member very early on that they weren't recruited with any specific skill set or a need for the board or the organization in mind, other than you're a diverse person. And, right. And that can be really damaging to that relationship.
Yep. So how do you do it then? How do you, and I'm going to use this term and I'm going to immediately regret it. How do you target a person of color or a person of some difference, you know, a disabled individual or a millennial or whomever? How do you target that person and not make it about that feature and instead of their skills? And mm-hmm. I'm gonna cite an example. I was recently I rolled off this board who later then tried to recruit a Black person to their board to help with their fundraising committee. And that Black person flat out refused him. And she said, "You just want me because I'm Black." And the organization mm-hmm. was flummoxed. And it's like, no, that's not the way we're going about this. And so, and that's not really why we want you at the table. But how do you do that? How do you do the recruiting piece without offending someone on issues of race or of difference?
Sure. Yeah. So I think there are probably two main components that I would consider. I think the first is, and you can put it in either order really, but sure. I think it's trust and communication. I think those are the two things. And I think trust certainly can be, you know, I think the old saying goes, you can lose trust in a minute, but it takes a long time to build it. So I think one of the things that's really important for people to understand is that sometimes when your organization has a perception, doesn't mean it has to be real. Perception can be reality for people. Yeah. If the perception is that they are not friendly to a particular demographic, or maybe don't have that particular demographic's best interest in mind, that can precede your organization, right? So that's something to keep in mind. The way that I've worked with this, again, I'd actually use the same board as an example. We had that perception. In fact, I will let you know, when I chaired that board a few years ago, I think I was the first person of color to finish their term as the chair. And the organization had been around 30 plus years. And so, you know, one of the challenges that we had when we were reaching out to different folks to serve on the board was precisely that. And one of the conversations that I had along with our executive director with folks is we'd sit down and we'd say, listen, we know what the perception is. We were very open and honest about that. We wanted to be clear up front, because I think sometimes if you don't address it, it's the obvious elephant in the room. Yeah. And so we were very clear and we said, we know that this is the perception. We understand why it's the perception. Here's how we'd like for our organization to be viewed. And this is how we're trying to address it by taking these steps. And then we'd bring, you know, whoever this candidate was, and we'd say, here's how we think you fit into how we operate. And when we were talking about that portion of it, which I think is really critical for people to know, it was never because you're diverse. It would be, for example, we thought, hey, you know, we think our program should be delivered in XYZ way. But what we realized is in looking at the staff, the volunteer leadership, whatever it is that we had, we don't have a voice from, it could literally be geographically that community, right? Maybe someone who quite literally, we don't have anyone who knows what's the best way to approach people in that community and gain their trust and be able to work with them and partner. Well, that might be why we wanted this person to sit on the board, right? And so if you're leading with that, as opposed to saying, you know, we just think it'd be great if you could join the board, you bring a lot to the table. If you can be really specific, if you can be open and honest and walk someone through a plan, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to say yes. But I think it starts to open up the lines of communication. I think it starts to build a little bit of trust. And I will also tell you, that's an example of a success. But we had failures along the way, too. We had people who just did not trust that, you know, there was that paradigm shift. And that's going to happen. And that's why you kind of have to build that trust over time.
Right. And to your point, I think maybe it makes sense to view diversification of a board as a long game and not something that you can accomplish within one recruiting cycle.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, one of my favorite things to say to any organization that's working on diversity, which at this point is basically all of them, mm-hmm. diversity is not a destination, it's a journey. Sure. It's something that you're always doing. It's fluid and it should be integrated into as much as you can. But you're never going to wake up one morning and say, great, we're diverse, we've done it, we won't have to think about this again, right? Like right. That's not something that will happen. So Our communities are always changing. The needs are always changing. Who we're serving changes. So we have to remain nimble and adaptive. So I think it's really important for us to understand that diversity just becomes like any other continuous quality improvement process. It's something that you're always working on and should just always be part of your strategic plans, really.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I think that a lot of nonprofits may actually leave that piece out, and they might actually regard board services being the one thing that shouldn't change within the organization, but it should evolve just like everything else. I think you're absolutely right. Jermaine, this is really fantastic. I wanted to try to revisit one piece, which was to say, you were saying that it was wise to be upfront about your intentions with your candidate. Is that, and so how would that sound exactly? I'm a brown person, and you know, I like board leadership, and I think I'm an okay board leader. But if someone wanted to recruit me because they needed to diversify their board, what would that person be saying to me to get me at their table?
Sure. So I think when in doubt for any nonprofit, and I'm doing this actually currently at work, I think you rely on your values of your organization. And so what I mean is, one of the most exciting things I've heard in the last year was my own organization, actually, when we were going through the interview process, because I just started there a few months ago, they laid out for me what their strategy was for diversifying. And by diversifying, they meant, you know, the AmeriCorps members they'd be working with, the volunteers, the staff members, I mean, top to bottom, even board members at their sites and at the national level. It was very comprehensive. And, you know, certainly for me at this point in my career, I had very similar thoughts in the back of my head where I thought, well, you know, bringing me on to this role as a VP of major gifts at a national level, an organization that I know wants to diversify its donors. I mean, I'm connecting the dots for myself, right? I'm thinking to myself, like, I want to hear the part where this isn't about me being the Black fundraiser. And so one of the things that was really important to them, and they asked me a great question, and I would suggest that boards maybe think about, or nonprofits think about approaching it this way. They said, here is what we believe about racial equity, racial justice. You know, they gave me this kind of statement, if you will, almost like a mission statement. And it laid out exactly what their thoughts were. And they said, we realize that this is a bit aggressive or radical, and it might be something that could challenge the thought process of a lot of our donors and volunteers and partners. And they asked me, which I thought was so fantastic, as a fundraiser, as a man of color, if you had to go out and fundraise knowing that this is our value system, how would this impact your job?
Oh, now,
yeah. And so I said, wow, this is a great question. And I told them, and it's funny, it almost came out immediately. I said, this would be the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me. And let me tell you why. For nonprofits, and I'll speak specifically for fundraising, there's a lot of autonomy when we're dealing with donors, we're dealing with community partners, you name it. We deal with a lot of stakeholders. And one of the things that can be challenging is people bring themselves to their job, right? Not everybody believes the same thing. We already know that. That's been made very apparent in America. So we have to find ways to work together and stay aligned, right? Because the mission of your nonprofit and the values that underscored are the critical piece here. And so what I said to them is, what makes this so great for me, particularly as a Black man, is now I can look at these values and I can lean on these. I can now say, because I'm aligned with your values, I can go and I can talk to a donor, and I know if they don't align with these values, which I also align with, that I have now, I'm empowered to say to them, I don't think that we're aligned. I don't know if this is a good partnership.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that I bring that up specific to your point is when you can lean on who you are as an organization and you can say, this is what we believe, this is what we stand by, we've made it public, and this is who we are. It opens up so much possibility for the relationships and partnerships you can build, because it builds trust, right? If I can sit and tell someone, like I did, for example, at that board a few years ago, this is what we believe. We're putting it on our website. We're putting it in press releases. We're talking about it when we, you know, go out and meet with donors or potential board members, like this person was. It gives everybody a sense of alignment. And it allows you to then be able to say, well, I know this is what they believe. They've told me this. It's in writing. I don't have to guess in an uncertain situation which way the organization may fall, like what their leadership would think. And it's to a person. It's through the volunteers. It's the board leadership. It's the staff leadership. It's the donor and board members. So I think that's the way that I would say that people should look at that, is lean on who you are as an organization. And as part of that, if your organization is not clear about where you sit on these types of issues, maybe that's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Maybe part of the challenge is being clear about that so that you know where you stand, and then that becomes part of your perception in your community.
Yeah.
So I think that's really critical, and I think it's something worth going back and kind of being a little bit more self-aware about as organizations in the nonprofit sector.
Yeah. Jermaine, this is beautiful stuff. I'm sure it's going to be useful to a lot of people. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you suggest they do that?
Sure. I the best way is always email for me. I get a lot of them, but I do read them. So it would be at Jermaine, it's JERMAINE.Smith, and then the number 7 at gmail.com. And I would love to hear from people, particularly if you don't mind me asking, if there are nonprofits out there who are doing some really great work around diversifying their board, their staff, even fundraising, I would love to hear about it, because I'm really trying to take some organizations I work with in that direction. And it's, to your point, it's hard. It really is. Yeah. So the more data points we have of people having success, I think the better off our entire community will be.
Yep. I hope you do hear from people. I would also love to hear some success stories, or even the actual, the not so successful stories. What are the lessons that boards are learning along the way in their diversification journeys? Jermaine, this is wonderful. I hope we can do another one of these sometime in the future. And in the meantime, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and thank you for joining me at the microphone today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Happy to come back on whenever you'll have me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jermaine. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mickey. You too.
To our listeners, thank you as always for joining us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating via whatever mechanism you use to listen to the Snapcast. Your 5-star ratings make us more findable by search engines, and we are grateful to you for helping us grow our audience. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.